This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner. Let's play a game called Trump or Magic Leap CFO. Welcome to episode 107 of The Unwind, a show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
Quick fire topics.
PewDiePie.
Yeah, so PewDiePie was dropped from, the YouTube Maker program, and also, well, I guess he had some sponsorship from Disney, and Disney sponsors that Maker program anyway, so.
Well, so yeah, they're two separate things. Disney owns Maker Studios, which he had a partnership with, but YouTube has like a preferred affiliate program or some preferred, you know, when they're bigger. And so they canceled, both of them dropped.
They canceled the YouTube Red show that he was scare PewDiePie. Because apparently he had several, I guess, was this an investigation from the Wall Street Journal or New York Times or...
Okay, so I read a bit. Yeah, it was Wall Street Journal. I think they just put together clips from his shows. I don't think there was anything new. I'm not exactly sure what prompted this.
Yeah, because
a lot of the clips
they
were like from August.
Yeah, I don't know.
Seven or eight clips of, anti-Semitic and racist things and kind of hate-related humor or commentary. And I watched one of the clips and I was really confused by it because the reporting wasn't very clear, and so I just clicked on the clip to see like what was going on. And apparently he had paid some people on Fiverr, which is a site where you pay people $5 and they do whatever you ask for.
Give them a fiver.
Yeah, and so these two, he put out a commission or something, and these two Indian guys made a video for him.
I'm offended now.
He's watching the video, so it's like picture in picture, right? So it's a close up of him in his studio booth or whatever, and he's got the picture in picture up there, and so he's watching the video. It's kind of like, well, what the fuck is this? This is what I get for $5, and you see these two guys like laughing. It's obviously fake laughing, but they're like laughing hysterically, and then they unfurl this message that says, like death to all Jews or something.
Yeah,
like
someone
that.
Kill all Jews.
Yeah, that. and
please don't take that out of context. We're not. We are just quoting somebody else.
But when you
you're gonna shut us down.
When you see his reaction, like it looks like he's shocked. But apparently, this is what he paid for. He paid somebody to hold up that sign. So I'm just really confused by the whole thing. Like,
I think there was something I read where. So I haven't seen the video either, but something like people were saying that he was shocked that they actually did it, kind of thing, or something like that. This stuff, to be clear, it's shock jock stuff. There's no part of it. It's not like I remember when Tila Tequila all of a sudden became a Nazi sympathizer and she was genuinely like, I don't know him, but. I don't think he's actually anti-Semitic.
Call him up and
ask him. Yeah, I'm going to call him. I don't have that money for international calling. But
is he based here?
No, he's... Yeah. Oh, I don't think he moved here. He's definitely... He's
not really important to the story.
Yeah. It's really important.
So whether or not he is truly anti-Semitic and peddling hate, I think it is... I think this is typical of people who get really rich... very quickly and while they're young, right? Like you start doing things like and you'll see kids on the playground do this, right? Like when they get a little bit of money, so like playground money, it's like they got their birthday money and they got $10 and you know they start saying, well, what, I'll give you $1 if you do something stupid, right? Like this is what rich people do.
I would have made so much money.
I'll give you money to do something stupid. And he's so, you know,
whether he's $5 or $5.
No, it starts at $5.
Oh, okay. But that makes sense.
Either way, I mean, whether he's anti-Semitic or not, I think he is abusing his power, and he wasn't thinking straight. So this the response maybe will set him thinking straight. Maybe it'll make him bitter. Who knows? I don't know. I mean, I've said several times, I don't get the whole YouTube celebrity. I mean, I get it as a medium and as a platform, but the people who are actually
Josiah's famous, old man moment.
the people who are actually yeah. famous on YouTube, a lot of them I just don't get unless they're, you know, the YouTube version of some other thing that I understand. Like, what's his name? Morris. No.
McElroy's?
No. Marcus. MKDB.
Marcus Brownlee.
Yeah.
MKBHD.
Yes. So, you know, I get him, right? Like,
well, he's I mean, a charismatic the point guy is, there's nothing
talking about technology, but I don't understand what PewDiePie is doing.
But I mean, the point is exactly that. It's you're attracted to the personality, maybe over the content to a degree. So people like PewDiePie, they find his brand of comedy entertaining, and I think that's what makes people connect. There's other shows on YouTube that are more specific, like the reaction videos, but there are a lot of people, it's just purely people really like their personality, they connect to it. A lot of people say about PewDiePie, the whole, not boy band, but that kind of Bieber-esque look. So he definitely skews younger in terms of his demographic, like who really watches him. Although I remember a long time ago watching his Dark Souls series, and I thought that was pretty funny. He must have put a video to respond to that. I wonder if he said anything. I mean, to be clear, he's not banned from YouTube. He's just not part of their preferred program. Right. So yeah. His advertising revenue is down. He's going
to see a huge hit to his revenue, but will it be enough to like make him poor and destitute? Probably not. And I'm not saying he should be poor and destitute, but hopefully he learns a lesson.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. It definitely seems like, it also seems like something, I mean, it's a really immature thing to do, and also somebody who doesn't really have an editor or somebody to say, hey, you probably shouldn't do this, even if you're trying to be funny, like this isn't going to come across well. And kind of what you're saying also related to the abuse of power thing, he has a lot of young viewers. So there might be people who, like, it's kind of like, I've realized this, and I'm like, I can't believe this is so common. This, to me, in some ways, encapsulates the internet, too. So on Reddit and also in Imgur, one really common phrase is OP, which means original poster, is an F word, but not, like, the gay slur, the homosexual slur, not fuck. And it's a really commonly used phrase, and in the context of it, you don't think much about it. But if anybody else saw that, you'd be like, "What is this?" And so,
I think he wrote a rap about this.
But so, like, I think he might. Well, I personally don't think he is anti-Semitic. He might be there. He could be influencing a lot of people and normalizing language that, or normalizing jokes that probably aren't the best thing to normalize. I don't want to get into the whole debate of, you know, comedy. What are the boundaries. And to be clear, I mean, we've talked about this before. I mean, YouTube and Disney are well within their rights to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
I'm still surprised like what the genesis of this was, like why Wall Street Journal decided to run an article or where this came from. But I hope it does change. I don't know how he's responded to it. I think he's gotten criticism in the past. And I wonder, since he knows how powerful his personality is, like, I mean, if you don't know this, PewDiePie is by far the biggest YouTuber in the world. He's at like 50 plus million subscribers, like 50 million subscribers. And so I wonder if he'll feel almost, I mean, I don't really want to compare it this way, but kind of like Trump, where he knows he has fans that love him. I wonder if this will galvanize him and turn him be like, look, these people are trying to smear me. I know my real fans really like, and I don't know if he'll double down on it.
Just gonna get an HBO special, and then he can say whatever he wants.
it's interesting though, and considering how big he is, I think this has some effect on. I would assume this has an effect on what people are gonna do. Also, I read that apparently, like Stormfront, which is a white supremacist group, I think it was Stormfront, their YouTube page, like they put him on the front page and they were praising him, saying that like finally somebody's out in the media or something like that, like talking about our stuff. Like, damn,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's why you don't make stupid jokes like that. I don't even think it's, you know, I don't think it's a joke at all. But like, that's why you don't do stupid things on a whim like that, because somebody's going to take it seriously. But moving on, something to take very seriously. The producers of Mass Effect Andromeda came out and reiterated to the internet that it will not be an open world game.
No!
In fact, it will be several open worlds because there are many planets to visit.
It's actually
a closed world.
It's actually a Mega Man game. You just have levels and you can only go forward. It's side scrolling, but in first person. So like you can only go straight.
I don't see why this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Did anyone expect it to be open world? Like,
I think the reason why it could be a big deal is when you said,
oh, see this? I'm in character here. I'm wearing my
N7, for the audio listeners, meaning shirt. All of them. Yeah. Rob's wearing his Mass Effect shirt. Mm. I think the reason why people could get upset about this is now it almost feels standard for every game to be open world. Like, it's just a thing. Now every game ends up being open world.
I guess, but like, so maybe none of the Mass Effect games have been in the past. So like, why would this one be? I don't know.
True, but like, Witcher 3 was the first like truly open world game. Assassin's Creed has always been. Assassin's Creed, I think on the fourth one, they made it more open world. Yeah. Like, all these games have been trending that way.
I don't know that I'd want it to be an open world game anyway.
You don't
want to
explore from one, I don't know. How would that
mean
work?
Like, because you're planet hopping by design, so like, unless you can explore the whole planet, then you're turning into No Man's Sky or
you're right, that would be much more difficult.
Like, what I think Elite Dangerous is trying to get into now, and I would much rather them just focus, do what they've, you know, been doing and know how to do, and just make something good.
Yeah, I agree. I think like
especially,
you say,
sorry, especially for like a story driven game. Like Mass Effect, like I don't think you necessarily need that open world component. I don't know that it would add to anything.
And I mean, you know, because it is a gigantic space opera, it would be ridiculous for you to be able to go to all these planets and walk on every single planet. All these planets would just have to be empty or somehow procedurally
generated.
They're super
tiny planets.
Yeah, they're all dwarf planets, like the Little Prince or something.
They're bringing back the Mako. Remember in the first one, man, every single building
That's
you went
not a
in.
Joke.
Oh, they are? Oh, yeah, they are. But, like, I remember every single building was just a, like, a texture change. Yeah. It was ridiculous. I'm like, huh, I feel like I've played this level before, and it was literally the same thing.
Oh,
so,
man, that was the worst.
The Mako wasn't that bad, except for those goddamn Thresher molds that would just pop up and, like, kill you out of nowhere.
I remember, because I think they made the Mako so it couldn't flip, right? I think I saw some like video or something where people tried as hard as possible to make it flip, and it would be like basically over, and it would just flip back over. It's just these ridiculous things. Are you guys excited for Andromeda?
Yeah,
have we all played all three Mass Effects?
Yes. So like that's probably the most excited I am for a game this year is Mass Effect.
There are lots of good games. I think you're just being discriminatory.
What game are you more hyped about?
What? I swear, hold on. Zelda. So, without a doubt.
You're not going to play it, though.
Well, I'm going to borrow your Wii U, and then I'm going to play it.
I'm not going to.
It's the year of restraint, Sean.
I sold it.
You sold your Wii U?
Yeah.
How am I going to play Zelda?
I don't know. That's
so,
what I'm saying.
Zelda, I think Mario is still slated to be this year, but it says holiday.
Also not a game you can play with your current systems.
Fine. But whatever. You're saying, you asked me what I'm hyped about. You asked me what I'm hyped
about.
So admittedly, this probably won't come out. I have so many games I could list, though.
No, we're not talking about that. We will talk about Zelda.
Sean's Gaming Corner coming up on our next podcast.
We will talk about Zelda because they just announced a DLC. They actually announced two DLCs.
DLC?
Before the game even came out.
This is pretty common now, though.
It is pretty common, but people still freak the hell out. I don't understand it. But
we just talked about a game where people expected open world and they're not going to. And then this, where people weren't expecting the way everything's going, and they are.
I think it's funny. It's like all these companies are just messaging exactly what they're going to do because they don't want, I don't know, maybe a snafu like
No
Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
This is the game. We're going to release a video of the entire playthrough before you play it, and you will know what is in it.
And here's the decision tree. If you do this, this happens. And yeah, so it's kind of weird, but I mean,
I don't want to make a game like that where you know all the outcomes before you play it. You're like, nope, this is what you get.
But so they announced these DLC. I think one's coming later in the spring, maybe early summer, and then one's coming like in November, December time. So late fall, early winter.
I mean, it's funny to think. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think Nintendo really does DLC, right?
I guess that's kind of the significant thing, is that Zelda has never had a DLC before, and it's always been self-contained, and on consoles, you don't usually get expansions. Like, we talk about DLC like it's a big thing, but there used to be expansion packs to games on PCs, at least, where you buy a game that was where you needed the original game installed, and so you could buy a game for, let's say, the original cost $50, the expansion might cost $30, but you couldn't play it unless you had the original, right? So it's effectively DLC without the DL.
Well, I think the problem with DLC ended up being that a lot of expansions were awesome, and DLCs ended up being like, here's a couple skins, or horse armor. Well, like, Brood War, Lord of Destruction? I mean, there were lots of expansion packs that came out that were really great. Quake 3 Team Arena, everybody played that.
Brood War.
Were you listening at all? No,
I was just saying, that's the one DLC that sticks out.
But yeah, no. So expansions were really good, and I think DLC, at least at the beginning, there have been some really great DLC to come out. So I don't dislike the idea. Shadowbroker.
They had to kind of calibrate what they could get away with, and even some recent games. I forget the one that there's some like multiplayer Evolve. That just I think they overstepped.
Oh, that's free. Yeah. You can play that now.
Well, it's free now, but when it first came out, and like they just bombarded DLC on day one or something, and people said that's overstepping. So
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't
like that. You know, this DLC isn't coming on day one, but it's been announced before the game has even released, which I still think that's fairly common. It's expected. So I think just the big thing is that this is the first Zelda game to do it, and it's one of, if not the first Nintendo published games to do it.
And I think it also tends to work with open world games. So Zelda Breath of the Wild is going to be an open world game.
Wait, is it open world?
And I think
we're talking about Zelda Andromeda, right?
Zelda in space, or Link in space. It works really well in open world games because basically all they need to do is, hey, travel to this new land.
Yeah, here's this new region.
It just makes it easy to add into the story.
Yeah.
Is Zelda
still in the games?
Yeah.
Always, she's always in the game.
Yeah, that's what's called Zelda.
But don't you play as Link still?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Zelda's just always in there somewhere.
This story is always like silly.
Her?
What?
Do you ever play as her?
No.
No.
That's this point.
I don't think there's ever been a game that they did. There was a lot of talk. People were saying maybe Link this year would be female. Well, because there's no reason.
Zelda Andromeda, you could play as female or male Link. So. Yeah.
Which, and have male or female love interests as well.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting to see how they end up dealing with it, because they're, I think Nintendo's pretty conservative even in terms of like social values. So it'd be interesting if it's like, yeah, you choose a female Link, choose a female Zelda.
Mario with a Goomba love interest.
Also,
like, I think in Andromeda you can romance a Hanar, the little jellyfish.
Oh, yeah. But also, though, I love this idea that, like, we need the Slowpoke meme for this. Like, Nintendo's like, this year we have online multiplayer that you pay for. Yeah. This year we have DLC. Like this has been happening for years, and then all of a sudden they're like, check out this new stuff.
That's almost like they're Apple or some shit.
Either way, I mean, I think Breath of the Wild, I'm hyped for it, Rob.
Hype.
I don't know. I mean, I trust them. Although, granted, their recent Zelda games.
I should rephrase that question for, which game were you most excited about in last year that you'll play this year?
I've already played them all, Rob.
Dark Souls DLC.
You're behind. Many years. I played Shadow Colossus last year. Okay, so now I'm moving over to Super NES.
Yeah.
So moving over to television. So, I mean, this is a little bit old now, but when the Super Bowl was on, Fox was...
Oh, yes. I heard the Revolutionary Men won, right?
They were beaten by the... they're very anti-bird. So Fox was the TV channel covering it. And one cool thing they did, I don't know if they do this every year. So one thing, channels are very very protective of NFL rights because they're still very valuable, but they decided to make the Super Bowl free to anyone. You didn't even need a TV subscription. You could just go to Fox Sports Go and watch it. So I was watching it on there. But the funny thing was, I wonder if it'd be different if I signed in using your View account or something. They didn't show me the commercials. Which, this is
Isn't
a thing.
Isn't that the only reason why they would allow?
This is free? What I do not get. I like, and this is a whole thing. I remember I watch ESPN a lot. One place where for years they've been doing streaming content really well, live streaming content. And I remember always seeing that the ESPN commercials for a long time, they either wouldn't have a commercial, they'd say, well, you know, we'll be here after the break. Of course. And then
give me 5 minutes.
I think Vice did this, although they did this on the Real TV channel. They would just advertise their Vice stuff. And what blew my mind was like, are internet ads this worthless that they don't spend the time to get them licensed over? Like, I've always thought in my head, I do know TV ads are worth more. I don't know the reasons, but they're worth more than internet ads. But in my head, I'm thinking with the internet, especially because they're per device, you can be much more targeted. So I think they'd be somewhat valuable. But it blew my mind that I didn't get, I think actually at the beginning they showed commercials, but then after that, it just showed, you know, we'll be back with you shortly. And it was actually really funny because it was, I swear, it was like, do you remember, it's like cable access where it has this really plain sans serif font, which is a Fox. It was like that. Like, it shows a really bad picture of Fox.
It was like top left aligned font. It was like not,
I shit you not. I want to see if I can find the picture because it literally looks like something from TV of years past where they would just like put up a sign. But I didn't get it because I was like, this is the biggest event. Everybody talks about how commercials cost, like a 30-second commercial costs $5 million.
Yeah, it is bizarre. I mean, I know like people just go to YouTube now and watch the commercials. But which would be so bizarre, right? Like, what if your commercial on YouTube was so popular that it had a pre-roll commercial?
Totally happens. It totally happens.
You
get
money off your commercial. You're subsidizing your advertising. That's amazing. But
we got to make money back that we spent
king,
on it.
Right? So, but ridiculous. I didn't watch it this year, but I did watch it last year, and I used somebody's login to watch it on Fox Sports, and it was the same thing. Like, they didn't show commercials. There was just a blackout screen during the commercial times, which is quite frequently in American football because every time they do a timeout,
so
and then they
times.
Do, on top of that, they do commercial timeouts where they actually stop the game for commercials. But,
which, by the way, it's funny with that. So on the internet, you one of the cool things to do is you can get the game from a lot of different angles.
Yeah.
So I remember there was a TV timeout. So they're pausing for commercials, and but all the cameras are still rolling. So they show from other angles. Like, the main one is blacked out, but all the other angles are working. So you could just see a bunch of them just standing around. They're just millionaires, professional players are like in the heat of the moment. And they're just standing around talking to each other because they've got nothing to do because there's a TV timeout. It's ridiculous. It's just so silly.
You'd have to be like, feel like such an asshole if you lost and you were just dicking around. You should have used those 15 seconds.
It's a 2 minute warning. We gotta go there. But it's actually, I don't know, it's really funny. I'm just surprised. I it's getting better, I assume, in terms of having more ads on it. It's weird that there are times where I'm like, I kind of would rather have an ad rather than just a black screen, which sounds hilarious, but there are times where I feel that way. Yeah, like on your phone. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see next time around what'll happen. Also, side note: apparently, I did not realize this, and I should have because I read tech sites. The Lady Gaga show. There was a part where they showed like the Pepsi symbol in the sky. Those were all drones.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm talking about?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that
either. Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. But another event that happened recently were the Grammys, where Beyonce.
Queen Bee.
Beyonce was snubbed so hard. Adele won everything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
People love the Scottish.
That's what they say. Oh, man. I wish I had a good Scottish phrase to say. Cockwomble. One interesting thing, though. So Chance the Rapper won rap album of the year. And his album is streaming only. I believe it was actually an Apple Music exclusive, although it's spread since then like a virus. But it's interesting because it's the first streaming only album ever to win a Grammy. And it's kind of on the heels, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think Manchester by the Sea won an Oscar or something like that. And that was the first, and that Manchester by the Sea was funded by Amazon Studios.
The Oscars. Haven't
happened yet. So what did they win? Maybe a Golden Globe?
Maybe a Golden Globe or
SAG. SAG's the other one.
Yeah, so they won something, and admittedly, it's not I think Manchester by the Sea is in theaters, but it was by Amazon Studios, so it's big for them. I mean, you're seeing this trend of like Amazon, HBO, and Netflix.
Does that mean I can watch it on Amazon for free?
Well, I looked at it. It's not yet. It's coming in
summer. Yeah, it will be on Amazon, but they had like a blackout period. They agreed to their own blackout period.
Sure.
So it could be in theaters. Yeah. The thing I'm more interested in, to be honest, is that you have name the appellation, right? So, I would be Josiah the teacher, and Sean would be Sean the
what? Impaler.
The sure. And Rob the builder. I don't know
the builder.
You were thinking Rob Bob the builder. The builder. You've been around kids too much.
You don't have kids. You don't. Yeah.
I understand. I just
Josiah hasn't.
He's I just think it's funny because I'm like the least handy person ever.
Building code?
By the way, no, that's the funny part of the show. You just fuck up all these things where you're like, let me build a deck, and it's just terrible.
And then I impale myself.
I think for the rest of this month, so we got like 2 weeks left, we should just always call each other the something and just fill in the blank. It'll be like ad lib. So I'll this is my friend Rob the doctor. And we're just gonna Sean, the physical trainer.
Well, you know what? I personally was very confused as to what this chance person was. And then once he told me his last name was The Rapper, one word, which totally one random. Word. Apparently, his dad is the like primary advisor to Rahm Emanuel. So I didn't know that. Like I knew he's from Chicago.
He raps all his advice.
Dad the advisor.
He got a Grammy for spoken word. Yeah.
Shout out to my dad, Rahm. We made it. But yeah, so it's interesting. And I think it's cool. Also, Chance the Rapper, like this technically wasn't an album. It was a mixtape. So you're seeing more of this whole idea that people...
Define. What's the difference?
Well, okay. So mixtape used to be... It was more like collaboration. And I don't think it had as much money behind it.
Right.
Usually it was distributed for free. Like it was a good way to get your name out.
Right.
I don't know how it's changed over time. Like there have been artists that have done mixtapes. But I think... Yeah, actually, I mean, this does feel like a real album. What I was going to say is it's interesting. You're seeing more and more, and this is what you hope the internet would do. Like we've said continuously, it's democratizing all these avenues. Like, he is a truly independent artist. I do not think he's part of any label. He's worked with people like Kanye. Like, there have been big names who have helped him, but he is not tied to anybody. He is tied to the streaming services, but I think I'm okay with
that. He's tied to that paper, son.
Paper boy. You can hear more about the mixtape debate on our other podcast, Prayer Hands Emoji.
And hear more suburban guys rap over terrible beats. Boo-chicka-boo. Yeah, but it's just cool to see more and more truly independent artists like Frank. I was going to say Frank the Ocean.
Yes.
Frank Ocean is fully independent, like when he released.
Can
so it's
you
just
please
cool to see
have your kid's middle name be the?
Yes.
The, Sean the Thomas.
Yeah.
That's my kid's name. And then the kid after that, yeah, it'll be squared though. Sean
Josiah
the Thomas.
Josiah the Hills.
Yeah,
it works. Rob the Stellar, that actually kind of works too.
Rob the Stellar. Oh my gosh, this is going to be a very odd set of children. And everybody has a middle name. The. So lastly, is the last quick fire topic I want to talk about. Kavo, I think it's pronounced. So I saw this is front page news, and okay, so to lay out what this is,
Reddit
it is
front page.
I get it. That's where the
that was a serious question.
Oh, no. It was, I think, The Verge. And other websites, well, I think, did covered it, too. Okay.
I don't know. That could mean a lot of things. Could be, like, New York Times. Could be The Verge.
Oh, that is very true. Yeah, yeah. The New York Times has bigger things to deal with than tech devices. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. So, Kavo is this device where in the back it has, like, I think, 8 HDMI ports. And it's basically a high-end HDMI switcher. So what you do is you can plug in all your devices to it.
Ooh.
And it automatically knows what you're doing. So one of the simpler things it does, which is cool. But I think this is supposed to be better.
Probably.
I don't know. But,
mine's
so,
only
like,
got 4, and it's this big thing that comes out of my TV.
Oh, but does it automatically, like, if you turn
it knows
on
what the PS4, the Xbox, PC knows.
Oh, no, so when you turn it on, it'll automatically switch to it?
Yes. Some of them, not all of them. The Xbox, so if I go to the HDMI source, like source 3,
yeah,
it'll turn on my Xbox.
Oh.
And if I turn on something, it'll switch to that source.
So, okay, Okay, that's... Oh, but you still have to have the TV on. So this is... Okay, one thing it does, which is cool, but it's the most minor thing. Say your TV is off. Everything is already off. You go to your Xbox One or your PS4, and you hit power on that with the controller. It'll turn on your TV. It'll switch to that source, yeah, and it'll be playing. That's a cool thing. But the main thing it's trying to do, and the reason why I want to bring that up is because of how ridiculous that this is, where this is, that this is a good and somewhat reasonable device for people. So a lot of people have multiple streaming devices. Like people have a Roku and Apple TV. One big thing is Apple TV doesn't have Amazon services. Roku doesn't have iTunes stuff. Well, no one has iTunes stuff except for Apple. So what this will do is it has an overlay on it where you choose. It can pull from everything. So it also has voice controls and stuff like that. So if you say play Stranger Things, it'll know what your preference is by you like choose it at one point in the beginning, and it will turn on whatever that device is, switch to it, and just play it. You don't see any of that happening, but it is all happening.
So I can do that in my TV, but it uses the TV's apps. Obviously, it doesn't go through like Xbox or PlayStation or something like that.
Which is essential because, like we said, if you can't get Amazon on an Apple TV, but you have an Amazon stick. So you don't have to switch between any of these things. They're also like, they made a point that none of the HDMI ports are labeled because it doesn't matter. You just plug them into whatever, it figures it all out.
What has the voice control? Is it an app that's connected to it, or is it the
there's a remote,
so the device itself can process this information?
Yeah, and so that's why this is still going back to this idea that everybody is trying to fix. The Xbox One was probably the biggest trying to do this. This is supposed to be the one remote that controls them all. You don't need any of the other remotes because it can control all of them.
Well, it's bigger than that because you don't have to switch HDMI inputs.
Well, yeah.
So you're saying if I said watch Stranger Things and my default was Xbox Netflix, it would turn on my Xbox and somehow go to Netflix on my Xbox?
Yes.
How the hell would it do that?
So this is the whole
thing. Explain,
Charles. It's magic, bro.
Explain.
So this is actually the interesting part, and this is like the technical hurdle. I was reading, The Verge has like an exclusive article on it. It was really interesting to read.
It was on the front page.
It was on the front page. And so they actually use not machine learning, visual learning or something like that. So I kid you not.
Tiny robots.
So you would think the simplest way to do it is there would be some kind of API, right? And it digs and it deep links and figures this shit out, right?
Love those deep links.
On the Apple TV,
you
can't open up an app without like actually going to it. There's no API to open up an app. So it literally has to scan your home screen, figure out where their app is. You do have to install their app on the Apple TV. It figures out where it is by scanning your home screen. And I think it literally is doing like a human looking at the screen.
Literally.
It figures out some, because this is to me, sounds like some next level shit. It's not like, oh, we're scanning the code for, oh, this is the Cavo app. It is literally looking at the page, figuring out where it is, and then it memorizes it, and then it goes from there on. But that's what it's doing.
I'm just gonna come in and move Rob's apps all around.
it keeps opening up some random thing. But apparently it works well. Obviously it hasn't come out yet, so I mean, it's just when
vaporware. Why are we spent 10 fucking minutes on vaporware?
What? No, I mean
they haven't come out yet.
But it was the front page. They tested it.
They've demoed it. They demoed. So,
oh yeah, like they demoed Magic Leap and people invested.
No, they actually. You can see a YouTube video of them doing.
Oh, okay, YouTube. That's
Magic Leap has YouTube show.
So you don't believe it at all.
No, it's fake.
So either way, they're coming out with it, I think, in June, and they're starting out with a much smaller run of it. So it's $400.
Good God.
And so this is the thing. So what I read was, so their first run of it, it's very limited, and their point being, they want to make sure they get it right. Like, so they announced it at Recode, which is actually a really big tech conference, and they announced it there, and they said something like they're going to have like 5,000, which is a very small amount.
They're bespoke.
And their argument is that, well, if you have this many boxes, you probably have the money, that this is a real problem. And I read, so
it's Neil, a problem. I don't know that it's a $400 problem.
Well, so Neil, I wrote the article.
You're not rich enough to have that problem, Rob.
I'm not, but I have all the boxes.
Deal with it.
I have all the boxes.
Neil, I made the point that instead of thinking of it, I mean, it is an HDMI switcher. The thing is, the Logitech Harmony, which is an advanced universal remote, is $300, and people definitely pay for that. A lot of people buy that thing.
Well, they have,
what does it do?
Other entry models. I mean, I have one that's, I think, like 12 years old. So obviously, it's not the latest model, but it's it's worth,
haven't updated it in 12 years.
It's worth every penny.
It's worth $300.
I didn't pay $300. I think at the time it was like $150 or something. Like the newest ones have like touch screens and shit, and they're basically smartphones.
Well, that's the point.
If it has a VMU, I'll buy it.
If people are willing to pay $300 for Universal Remote when this is better than that,
yeah,
there is a potential market. It is definitely expensive. I would assume that if they do this short run, it's going to go down in price after. Another cool thing it can do is you can control it through Alexa. Like it has the Alexa skill where you can say play. Sure. And so it's literally controlling all your devices.
But
so
I could also do that through Home and Chromecast.
You can, but the point is you can't turn on your PlayStation. You can't do everything, and this is doing everything.
You can't do everything.
Will it play my games for me, Sean?
But how...
Rob the gamer. You're not paying attention.
But how crazy is it? You made the very solid point. It is very expensive. I think there is a market for it, like I said, but it's very expensive. How crazy is it, though, that that is something that people actually want?
Man, $400 device. I just pay some guy to come in and start you
off. But it's crazy, though, that you need this device to centralize it. Like, first of all, outside of iTunes, doesn't Roku have everything?
Yeah, but a lot of people complain about the apps on Roku. They're really slow. And
Okay.
Because I think somebody was telling me that they want to keep it backwards compatible. Like, they really haven't done an update on their operating system on Roku in a long time. And so it's just really clunky and it's junky, and the apps, they're just not parity between Roku apps and Fire Stick and Chrome and
okay, so that's disappointing, especially because that's literally Roku's entire business.
Yeah.
But so that's initially my thinking. I wonder if Apple TV had Amazon, they would have everything, right? There's
pretty
nothing
much
that's not on
that's,
there.
That's what I really... I mean, you can stream from your phone or your iPad or something like that, Amazon to the Apple TV. But I just don't watch things on Amazon. There are shows like Amazon that Amazon has produced that I really want to watch. But I keep... Every time I hear about it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I should watch that. And I stop and I'm like, oh, it's not on my Apple TV.
So I just don't watch it. You won't watch it on your computer or anything? Oh, which we'll talk about. I mean, I don't know. But it's crazy. I mean, this is better than that, though, because obviously one big thing I think I want to see more companies integrate is regular television or even these streaming services, because it would be nice, if you don't have to switch, it just goes through to that. I mean, this is what the Xbox One's dream was, and it just didn't work out for a lot of reasons, and it was buggy.
Because gamers hated it.
Yeah, and
they got pissed off.
I think there were bugs too. I do remember sometimes using your Xbox, Rob, and it's typing in the channel numbers and it would get something wrong. For some reason, it never got, was it NBC Sports? There's one channel it always got wrong for some reason. But the fact that this is a real thing, it sounds like people who want this kind of thing are excited about it, when literally it's just a smart HDMI switcher. It from the video I saw, it is cool. And it seems well built, in that like it pulls your last watched from everything like that. It pulls a lot from your services, so it's not just some dumb overlay. But it's crazy that this is such a big deal that we're at a point where a $400 HDMI switcher is a thing. But I don't know, we'll see. Apparently it's supposed to come out, and actually apparently the three guys that founded it, one guy was the guy who founded not Sling TV but the Sling Box. He apparently, I didn't know this, he died of a heart attack like last year or something.
Oh, wow.
Randomly, suddenly. And then one other guy was a higher up at Microsoft under the Xbox One, the TV initiative.
Huh.
So like this is what he wanted to do and it didn't work out, so I assume now. So we'll see. It's interesting. $400 is, I agree, a ridiculously high price, but I think people will buy it. But TV's crazy, man, but everybody wants TV, so that's all that matters.
All right, let's move on to the change up. It's brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to the Commentist website and clicking on the banner. Change up for this episode is, what are you playing? And I still want to know what you're excited for.
Nothing. I'm all sad because I'm Rob Steller and I don't like video games.
Rob the Steller.
So what am I playing? I'm playing Overwatch. I think, didn't I play something recently? Wow, that's sad that I wouldn't remember it. I thought I played something.
What are you excited for, damn it?
Okay, so God, now I'm going to forget it because you're asking me all on the spot. Zelda, Mario.
What are you excited for that's coming out in the next month and you are
No, this year.
This is not
Just it's, answer my
it's
question.
Not that episode.
Oh, no, hold on.
Answer my question.
Wait. Oh, dude, there is. Why can't I think of it? There is a game coming out next month that. Why am I not thinking of it?
Because it doesn't exist.
So I haven't played these yet, but I'm interested in Resident Evil 7 Neo, which both. Those are two different games. Resident Evil 7 : Neo. Those two games already came out in March. Damn it. There is. Well,
Horizon.
The. Oh, yeah, I want to hear more about that. I don't know if I'm going to like it as much as... Like, other people were fawning
Mass
over
Effect.
It. I'm not sure. Yeah, those two games, you're right. Those two are in March.
Mass Effect comes out in March?
Yeah. Oh. 21st.
Then. And the second DLC for Dark Souls, which looked pretty cool. Dark Souls 3 is coming out, so that's interesting.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, man.
What was another game that just came out? Like, I'm not thinking of the time. Another one, this is later in the year, although I admit this will probably get delayed, but the second... Red Dead Redemption is supposed to come out. I don't know if it'll actually come out. Near Automatica, I don't know how you pronounce it, is coming out this year. I don't know which month, but I think that'll be cool. I think Persona 5 comes out this year, doesn't it? There are definitely more games. And once you guys talk about your games, I'll come back in and tell you all the games I forgot about.
I'm playing Overwatch with Sean, actually, although we kind of fell off for a little bit, and we're trying to get back in now.
I have been playing... Overwatch.
Yeah! How are you doing that?
On my Mac! I hacked that
Wise.
Shit. No,
Hackintosh.
I built a PC.
Yeah, so, son!
That'll be one of our topics, but yeah, I've been...
Ukulele is coming out? What's ukulele? Scalebound? This is clearly an old article.
So yeah, I played some Overwatch, and I finally finished Firewatch.
Yes, that's the only game in the past year I think all of us have beaten.
Yeah.
Is Firewatch an open world game?
There
are many side quests. It is about, what is it, 60 hours
there
or 100 hours?
Quests.
I don't remember.
Yeah, divide by 10.
Yeah.
It's three.
We always made
three
fun
hours.
Of Josiah because he got halfway through the game. The game is literally,
three
I think,
hours.
Like, yeah, 3 to 4 hours. It's probably quicker if you play it in one sitting because you're not, like, you don't have to remember all the complex mechanics. But I remember you played for, like, 2 hours and then...
No, I played longer than that. Like, I took my time with it the first time
around.
You're
taking all the pictures.
Just because I was walking around and just really getting...
immersed.
Immersed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was simulating the walking. And it was fun, but for whatever reason, it didn't do a cloud save from Steam on my Mac to the PC. I know it should be able to do that, but for whatever reason, it didn't sync. So when I installed it on my new PC, I just played it all the way through, basically. Well, I played one evening and then woke up the next morning and played.
Couldn't handle all that gaming. He's been out of it for so long. Yeah.
So much simulated walking. It was just tough.
Did you like it?
I did like it. If you want to jump straight into that main topic,
yeah,
so,
let's do it.
Yeah, I think you were kind of hinting at this before I finished it, Sean, and so there is. They kind of bring up this idea of maybe a sci-fi component that might be there, and in the
by the
end,
way, there's going to be light spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, as opposed to dark spoilers.
That's where we just tell you the ending.
So. There's this sci-fi component, but they don't actually deliver on that. And to some people, it might feel anticlimactic or disappointing, but I was okay with it because I think one of the themes of the game is that it is very decidedly real, but they throw in this concept of questioning your reality because it's not a much of a spoiler because it happens in the first 5 minutes. They do all of this by like a dialogue tree with some light music in the background, but they basically tell you the backstory of the character you're playing and that his wife has Alzheimer's, early onset Alzheimer's. So, you know, that sets the tone of like what is real and what does memory do and what does your mind perceive versus what actually happened, that type of thing. So when they throw in this idea of the sci-fi element and stuff, it is a bit of a red herring, but they're just playing along that theme.
Yeah, I didn't hate the way it turned out as much as other. A lot of reviewers said this. A lot of people, like I read other people's opinions, they thought, I don't know. I think it would be more ridiculous if they kind of went with it and it turned out that fires would be being created by the government as a part of their hiding UFOs.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what the real ending is. If you collect all the fires.
Yeah, the fire aliens.
Yes.
And which we have to watch for. Mm. So, but yeah. The two games I've been playing on my PC both end in Watch, apparently.
But before, well, can we just agree, though, that the writing in Firewatch, at least in terms of the voice acting and the writing in terms of personality, it's, like characterization, it felt like, I've said this before, where even in a lot of the better games, like The Witcher, gets closer and stuff, and there are some good games. I always think of games as something completely separate from any type of film, television, where the voice acting just isn't on the same level. Granted, most video games, they have to have a lot more.
Voice acting can be really good in a lot of games, but the actual writing, not to say, like, you know, the actual dialogue, the actual plot, and the dynamic growth of characters, and the tension and subplots within the storyline, that sort of thing, it's just not on the same caliber as television, movie, and books. In my opinion, it can be great and very engaging and very entertaining. And, you know, I'll spend 50, 60, 70 hours on the right game. But the writing as a whole is just not the same. And part of that is it's a tough nut to crack to give people choice, if not the illusion of choice, the illusion of choice, if not the actual real choices, and write that big sprawling story where somebody feels like they're in charge of their destiny in a game.
It's
very difficult. I'm not ignoring that, but because of the difficulty and the challenge presented to them, the writing in games just doesn't hold up to those other genres.
And to be fair, like, Firewatch is a very short game, like we said, so it's closer to a movie or a miniseries, so there's a lot less writing. Like, if you have Fallout, you have to write hours and hours of dialogue, so it's just, there's just a bigger task in general. One thing, am I the only one? I don't know if it's a technical limitation. I have yet to see a single game, a AAA game, where they can do interrupting correctly, where somebody will cut somebody off, and it just doesn't work. There will always be a long enough pause. There's always a short pause, and I think it's a technical, like, shifting, but they always, like, the point of an interruption is you literally interrupt them. Like, I'll be reading the subtitles and I read the interruption dash before, and there's just that pause. I've never seen that. But the writing in Firewatch in general, and the voice actors, and they're not these super famous actors, it was just great. It was fantastic. Tens.
Tense. So that was great. Like I said, playing Overwatch. I suck at first person shooters, but you guys put up with me, so it was fun to play. And I'll need to practice this weekend.
It's all about fun.
Talk a little bit about the rig that I built. I went with a mini. No, sorry. Is it mini?
No, he's a noob already. Yeah, I think you went mini, right?
Micro.
Oh.
Yeah, so micro is kind of basically a square footprint, whereas mini is more rectangular. So I got 16 gigs of RAM, a 1060 in there, Core i5, I think it's the 6500, so it's like 3.2 gigahertz. I ran the benchmarks and stuff like that. I don't remember the scores, but it's a decent machine. The choke point actually is the CPU, so depending on what kinds of games I'm playing.
Really?
Yeah, definitely the choke point is the CPU.
On what games?
Just when I ran the benchmarks. Like it says, you have a pretty decent rig. You know, you have a mid-range rig or whatever. It'll tell you this
in games, usually it's the GPU. I mean, we'll see, because we'll have many more games.
Well, just like I said, it depends on what types of games I'm going to play. And so I can say, I got a 250 gigabyte SD hard drive. SSD. Thank you. And
it's got a little hard drive.
And that's all I got. I didn't get a, you know, whatever terabyte spinning platters or anything like that. I just, like, you know, I'm only going to use this machine for gaming.
Yeah.
I'm not going to render video or do podcasts on there or anything like that. So I'll play the games, and some stuff will stay on the machine always, and some stuff will just cycle through. So I finished Firewatch, and it's off my machine. So that cleared up whatever 8 gigs. So I can give you my game list, and I'll tell you that I have about 48 gigs free right now.
Oh, shit.
So, I have Shadowrun Hong Kong on there. I have Overwatch. I have, Heroes of the Storm, League of Legends. Overwatch, League of Legends, and Hero of the Storm will probably always stay on there. I've got Marvel Heroes, which is just like a cheap Diablo clone with,
Oh, wait.
It's free to play. And it's like a cheap Diablo clone, but with Marvel characters. And I used to play that a little bit on my Mac. I haven't played it. I haven't booted it up yet. I've got MechWarrior. I think it's just MechWarrior, which is the free-to-play game.
Oh, I was going to say, you probably need like DOSBox to play the
And I downloaded the Alpha 3.7 of Star Citizen or whatever it is. I haven't booted that up. So
I'd be curious
actually,
how that runs.
These last four games are all Kickstarters that I endorse and never played because I couldn't play them on my Mac. But it's Star Citizen, Tides of Numenera, Wasteland 2, and Shroud of the Avatar. So I've got those four games, and I'll be fooling around with them this weekend. So that's literally all the games I have on my machine.
Well, soon enough, once you join our family on Steam, which, by the way, I mean, that's a really cool feature that Steam has, but you'll have many more games to try. One other interesting thing, just as a comparison, so it's cool that you built it. My rig is an i5 2500 and I have a GTX 670. So, and granted, these are just benchmarks, so whatever, take them as they are. We compared benchmarks, and so both of my components, my CPU and GPU, are about 4 years older than your components.
Right.
And it seems like, at least according to the benchmark, your CPU is about like 25% faster, maybe 30% faster, and the GPU is like over 100% faster. Yeah. And you see how much how different GPUs, like how much they've increased in power versus CPUs were. I mean, the fact that I'm still running that thing and it's fine, generally. I mean, I'm not running in 4K, but I run games in 1080. It's kind of crazy. I mean, granted, the 2500 was known as a really good CPU, but still, yeah, it's like 4 years old. That's
yeah, a long time. And I think, you know, this is an issue that people have been talking about with Intel. They usually do their TikTok upgrade, and I mean, this is. This is what Apple would like to blame some of the problems with their MacBook Pro on, is that Intel just hasn't been up to snuff lately. And this is, I think, four generations now on the 14 nanometer process, right? Like they have 10 nanometer and even 7 nanometer, but they haven't built any Intel, the i5s or the i7s or anything. Like they're doing, the first ones to come out with on the 10 nanometer process will be server chips, because they're basically not selling as many PC chips, so they're like, well, it's expensive to fab this stuff and we're gonna go where we're making money. So I don't know which came first, chicken or egg type thing, but definitely Intel has not been upgrading their hardware as regularly. Technically Moore's law is still kind of in effect, but they have not been upgrading like it was back in the 90s when they had the Pentiums and the Pentium 2s and all that shit.
How much do you think the poor performance of AMD has to do with that? Apparently, I mean, they say this every time. Their new chip, Ryzen, they've been showing it off, saying it's very efficient and does really well. I mean, that's what their job is, so they have to promote it. But they right now, Intel doesn't really have much of a competitor. If you're into gaming, AMD's chips are cheaper, but they're so far behind, it doesn't really, there's no real point. You might as well get a lower-end Intel chip rather than get a high-end AMD chip.
Yeah.
So hopefully AMD gets better, so maybe that'll push it. Personally, I'm waiting for the picometer fab, and then I think that's when I'll upgrade my CPU. That's what I've always been thinking of. How hard was it to build?
The hardest part was actually putting on the CPU cooler.
Yeah.
Mainly because the instructions were awful. Like, it was all picture instructions, and I couldn't tell, like, is this the bottom of the motherboard? Or,
oh,
that
yeah,
makes
yeah,
sense
yeah.
that it would go on the bottom of the
there's
motherboard.
There's a lot of squares on here, but, and there's a lot of squares on here.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's the difference between part G and part C? Part G screws into C. It doesn't explicitly say that, but I'm assuming this is the way it's built. And, you know, all this stuff. And so for that part, I just ended up watching a YouTube video, which is pretty amazing that you can do that. Because when I first started building computers with my dad, when I was about 10, when we put our first stuff together. And, there was no YouTube back then. And it was all like, you just had to know or know somebody who knew. Like, I was telling you this over Slack, Sean, but like one of the first computers that I bought all the parts to. So I was probably like 13, 14 or something, and I saved all my birthday money, blah, 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 and put this together. And like the IDE ports or whatever they were called back then, the SCSI ports for drives were not standard. So even though they had like a little notch and it could only fit one way, depending on where you bought your stuff, it wasn't necessarily pinned standard. So I bought this drive and it would not work, and I was like super frustrated. And my dad asked a friend at work, and he was like, oh yeah, sometimes they don't make these things standard. Just cut the notch off and flip it over. And I swear to God, it worked. It was crazy, right? So just random weird shit like that that you don't have to deal with anymore. There's the case I got was much bigger than I thought. It's made for mini and micro.
The case you got now.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of room in it.
Yeah.
I feel kind of
I remember silly. Looking at that case.
I mean, it's not huge, but it's square, so it's cube like.
Or cube,
so,
yeah,
so it's just a lot of space with the mini the micro motherboard in there. But for the most part, it was pretty simple to build. And yeah, the other really annoying thing about that stupid cooler, the instructions, they tell you to put the thermal paste on,
yeah,
like super early, like it's the second or third step, and it's like that doesn't make any sense, yeah, to me. And so finally I'm like, I guess I'll do this and mess with the other stuff. And sure enough, like I had to flip the motherboard over several times.
Yeah.
I'm like, why the fuck did they tell you to do this? So goddamn stupid.
You spread it with a knife, right? That's what you're supposed to
do. Yeah, it's like butter. Basically, I just put butter on it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to build something again and see the see it be put together and see what it can do. And I'm happy with it. I'm definitely thinking like, you know, I said this before, if I go VR, I'm more interested in like standalone VR rather than plugged in for gaming. So I don't think I'll ever.
Sure.
I probably won't feel any pressure to upgrade that. But maybe in the future, upgrade the CPU, because like I said, that seems to be the limiting reactor right now.
And if you're going for 1080p gaming,
yeah,
like, that rig
like
is
future,
more than capable.
Like another 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 4 years, spend another $500 to get a new card and a new CPU.
And I mean, one cool thing I was thinking about, one thing I love about PC gaming is, for the most part, there aren't compatibility issues between, quote, generations, because there aren't generations. Like, if I want to play a PS3 game on the PS4, I can't, unless there's some kind of like Xbox One got backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Aside from really specific like DOSBox games, which oddly, awesomely enough, groups like GOG have found ways to make it work. It's cool that you can get games that from any generation. Like, yeah. I don't have to, like, even like StarCraft, I can just generally install and it'll work.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, on other systems, you really have to be like, oh, unless I buy that system. Yeah, obviously, like, if I want to play a PS2 game, I got to make sure I have the controllers for it. I have to make sure I have the memory card for it, have all the power cords and stuff for it, some kind of input that'll work for it, which most of the time, none of that stuff actually works. Like, you at this point, you just have to emulate it or something.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I like about PC gaming.
It's nice that I can just slot my Xbox 360 controller, yep, in there.
Yeah.
Like, I was able to get it to work on Mac, but I had to install some special drivers and stuff like that. While it would work consistently, every once in a while it would kind of like glitch out, and it would act like one of the analog sticks was pointing in the upper right corner or something, and I would just keep turning in circles whatever, and that was a little annoying, and I'd have to like reboot it. But so it's really nice, it's really slick. It's good to be back into the gaming world. Obviously now
join the fold.
I just need time to play shit. But exciting to hear about Mass Effect Andromeda, which is not an open world game, I hear. But I didn't realize. For some reason, I kept thinking that it's next year, even though when they said it was next year, it was like at the end of last year. But I just kept thinking it was next year. So it's kind of a surprise. pleasant surprise to hear that it's coming out soon.
I can't wait until like you spend all this time making this machine and then the game you want to play, Mass Effect, comes out and it's just a terrible port and you realize what we deal with. But yeah, we thought to keep it cinematic, we would keep it locked at 60 frames.
Man, those stick figures look amazing with this 1060. Oh, God.
I love these random crashes. It really brings some excitement to the game. You know, it's like it's a Dark Souls kind of thing. You don't know what's going to happen.
When you look at those stick figures, like from the right angle, they almost look three-dimensional. It's crazy.
He's really bad sprites. As a, just as a serious thing, the one major downside about PC gaming is typically it sells better on consoles, unlike Overwatch. But because of that, they're typically poorly optimized for the PC. So yeah. You will see situations where you're just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I think I told you that Final Fantasy 13, there were just the stupidest things. You couldn't change the resolution at all. Like, there was no way to do it. There were no graphics options. When you hit the escape button to get at the menu, it just closed the game. Like, it didn't even ask you, would you like to quit? It just, it's like an all F4. It just completely closes the game. It also had such bad frame rate issues. Like, it was unreal. Like, it was just insanely slow for no reason. And this is one thing. Granted, PC gaming is definitely growing, so this is becoming less of a problem, but it's still a major problem. I mean, Arkham City wasn't that long ago, or Arkham Knight wasn't that long ago, yeah. And that game was completely fucked up.
When you backed Star Citizen originally, in your head, were you like, man, actually, will I buy a new computer, or will this game come out first?
Well,
because originally I think you said you wanted a new computer for Star Citizen.
Yeah,
you?
I said I'll buy a new computer once they determine what the specs are. Yeah, and that was like four years later, five years. I guess maybe 4 years, right? 3 or 4 years at the very least. And I still bought the computer too soon.
You know, I actually checked. You know how they're open and transparent about this? The Star Citizen, whatever, Robert Industries, they actually have, as a milestone, Josiah building a new rig. So now they've met
now
that milestone.
Now that they know, they're under the gun.
We got to do this.
We really
got to
do this. This is serious.
Yeah, now we got you to get Star Citizen and it to come out.
What is
and
the point
it to come out.
In 4 years, he'll get Star Citizen.
I will say, though, like, maybe we should make bets on how many hundreds of millions of dollars they have by the time Star Citizen, because it's well over 100 million. I think it's like 130 million, which is a big AAA game. Like, that's a...
Yeah, but to be fair, they've been in development for 5 years, and they have a pretty big staff, I think. So yeah,
I can't
imagine they're, like, profiting off of this yet.
Well, I mean, I don't know how it even works.
5 years,
because they haven't even sold the game yet, so they haven't even gotten to the point where they're making profit.
I mean, no, they're selling.
They're selling that. Yes, so they are.
They're just
like Ark. Ark was the same thing. Ark never actually came out. It's still in early access or whatever, but they've been selling DLC and things like that.
Since
it's been, quote, released.
Early access. We don't want to finish the game, but we're going to make a whole new level for you. Yeah. I wonder, is that like a marketing thing to them? Like, they're like, oh, we want to be the top of the early access market?
I think what it does, like, from a developer point of view, it's kind of awesome, because if there are bugs, you can just be like, oh, it's still in beta.
But give me money, please. Yeah.
I don't know why you're like clipping through the planet. Yeah, I mean,
don't worry about it.
I need
money to fix those bugs.
It's $30 for the no clipping DLC.
Star Citizen. I feel like we need to have some, like, when that game will come out, like, how the world will be different. Like, Israel and Palestine have reached peace.
Will Trump still be president when that game comes out? That's the question.
Burn.
Okay, here's the Chipotle bet for next year.
Well, you know, a genuine question, though. Is anyone betting that it'll come out within the next, let's say, 2 years, so 2019.
Well, they released their roadmap, right?
But I don't think,
like,
it's
their roadmap.
I don't think
it
says,
but it
like
changes,
release, though. I think it's just like for parts that they're working on, not for like shipped games.
It might be, but they can change it if they want to. But do you? Let's this is complete speculation. But let's say they've been at it for 4 years.
Two years ago, I would be like, "There's no way it's going to take 2 more years," and that's exactly what I'm going to say now, and exactly what I'll say 2 years from now.
Like, I can't even remember what's special about this game. I mean, like, I know it's a space simulator where there's supposedly like real economy. So it's basically Wing Commander Privateer, which Roberts was a part of. Chris Roberts founded the Wing Commander franchise. And that's what I want. I just want a new version of Wing Commander Privateer, which came out in like 1994. But wait, I just want an updated version of that, and he's taking...
You want 100% perfect physics, right? You also want...
I didn't know I wanted that.
Real planets, like actual planets designed to the inch, right? Yeah. And you want it first person, and you want an economy, so, and you want, like...
So is this first person shooter? This is an open world space sim? I don't know. So
they're going to add, like, a Leisure Suit Larry later on. They just need everything. Like,
they're going to be huge swaths of this game that I don't even play with. I don't... Like, the first person shooter...
I just want to fly around, like, the damn spaceship.
I'm never gonna land my ship and, like, raid a space station and do first person shooting.
Well, you're not doing it. Right.
But I will say this: if it works out, it's a cool idea. You'll be
the
pilot,
so I'll do all the raiding.
Okay,
like, so you'll be the pilot.
So Sean and I will get out, shoot all the people, get all the money, and then we'll jump back. Move, go!
That's how easy it is. Get all the money.
I won't say this on air, but I'll tell you this later. I did drive Getaway once.
Oh, God.
I'll
tell you
this story. So I'm having flashbacks of this Getaway event.
See, you were born for this role. Years.
I think the craziest thing will be, and this maybe could eclipse No Man's Sky, although people have been following development, so maybe it won't be, if it comes out and it's not a great game. But granted, they've been very transparent,
if
so I
Chris
think people
Roberts
like
starts
it.
Starts growing a beard and stops showering, yeah, we know something's wrong.
Where's his Twitter account?
It can't possibly be released, though, without people already knowing what's in the game.
True. Because
people
have been playing it the entire time. Yeah, and that's why, and that's one thing why it hasn't been, the criticism hasn't been as negative as you would expect, it's because it sounds like all the backers, I mean, they have a conference every year for one game, and a 3 to 5 year cycle for a AAA game is not, that's fairly normal, but it, like, when you're going closer to a 10-year cycle and you've clearly been in development the entire time and you've always had money, like, typically if there's development hell, it's because they either don't have the money for it or people are pulling projects, like, you know, with Last Guardian and stuff, they had all kinds of confusing things that happened. But this is like,
so
I don't
Rob,
know why
Rob
we
and
got
I,
into this topic.
We develop software, right? So we develop it in phases, right? We have to say, well, this is our release candidate and this is our MVP and blah, blah, blah. And we have a roadmap for new features that we're going to add after the initial launch. And even some of those roadmap features are kind of tied loosely to benchmarks, right? Like, okay, if we get enough subscribers and there's enough demand, then we'll do this. But we already know that people are going to ask for these new features, right? So when I think about Star Citizen, I'm very confused, right? Are they just saying, well, we have all the money, let's put all these features in right now, and right now means the next 10 years, or are they tearing things apart and rebuilding it because they're like, oh, well, now we can do this. Well, that means we have to undo these 15 other things, right? Like, I guess what I'm getting at is when Rob and I know what we're building is obviously not like a complex
your apps simulation. Have perfect physics.
But it should be.
Matt, what are we doing? Space. That's the Easter egg, Rob.
This is actually what we're gonna build.
Up
now.
Down, up down, left right, A B star select.
I'm gonna be your first review in one star. The physics are terrible on the math educational app.
But I, you know, like, are they building it so that you can't just add on to it, and that's why they have to keep tearing it apart and rebuilding? I don't know.
They changed their game engine like a couple months ago.
They it's did. So bizarre. To me. But the caveat to it, so Crytek is having problems, so they switched over to Amazon's. But
they've been in development so long that game engines have gone defunct.
The reason why that's not as big of a deal is because my understanding is Amazon's, what is it, Log Cabin or something? Fire
Kindle? Lumberyard?
Lumberyard. It's based on.
Fire Kindle burning?
Lumberyard is based off of CryEngine or something like that, so it's not that. But there is a real question, though, like you're saying. I mean, same thing with the technology thing. What if they get to a point where it's like, this is 2012 technology. They're more advanced now. We need to update.
To be
like,
fair,
the
my 1080 can't even run it at the high specs. So.
Really?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, we've seen something similar to this, like with Daikatana. We've seen it with Duke Nukem Forever. We've seen this before, right? So that is a very real risk that by the time it comes out, the technology is
this
old.
I mean, the more recent example was The Last Guardian, that a lot of people point out there are some parts that look gorgeous, but there are a lot of parts where, like, this feels like a PS3 game, because this was initially supposed to come out for the PS3.
Yeah, and it was not a joke when Rob brought this up. Like, I literally was waiting to build a PC for this game, and when I kickstarted it, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago.
God, I can't believe it was Kickstarter.
Like, I kickstarted this, and then like 2 years later, I met Rob, and Rob was like, hey, have you heard about this game? It sounds pretty cool. I'm like, yeah, I Kickstarted that. It still hasn't come out. And then he kicks.
Kids are going to say the same thing, be like, oh, there's this classic video game.
And then he bought into Access, and like it's still like another 2 years since that happened.
Every like 6 months or so, I boot it up just to see what's going on. I play it for literally 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's it.
There's
going to
be a new website. Like, I remember when the who was it? Was it the Cavs before LeBron came back or something? They were just, or the 76ers, they were just losing every game. So there's a website called like, have the 76ers won yet? And it would just be a screen that just says no, no. And they finally won one game at like the end of the season and it switched to yes. So there's going to be like, it starts this and out yet? No, no. I don't know. It's crazy. I hope it does well, though. To me, it sounds legitimately cool.
It's just it sounds like the backers are okay with it. They're trying to make every possible genre of a game. There's going to be like a Dark Souls component somehow. It's like, you get to one planet.
Why couldn't they do this modularly, right? Like, so release the core Starship Battles piece of it, and then release the Marines.
They're doing betas.
But they're doing alpha.
That's what they're still in alpha.
Yeah, they're in alphas. So I don't know, and it's not
you're right.
It's not what do you call it? Set up, because it still chugs on. I mean, it's very slow on your crazy rig, right? Like, so I haven't even booted up the game yet.
Yeah, but he doesn't even have a Titan. I mean, let's be real. Well, so it sounds, one funny thing though, it sounds very much like a management issue. This could be a whole topic. I mean, we basically turned it into a topic.
It basically has been.
But it sounds like a management thing, but I think one key element is that they've been so transparent about it. It feels like the people who've been buying into it from the beginning, or clearly not everyone, but a lot of people are still buying into it and they're okay with it. It's kind of one of those things where like, you're successful in the past and you're stuck in your mindset, and then everybody's telling you got to change, but you're thinking in your head, look, it's worked for me in the past. These people are just haters. And I wonder if this is building up where it's like, yeah, people on the outside are saying, you know, why hasn't developing gone faster? But I know my core community is saying, look, this stuff is good. Every article I read about it, the comments are all like, the people who say I back this, most of them are like, I really like the new ships they put out. They put out a YouTube show every week. They have a whole like ecosystem around a game.
Like you said, there's like a con. Ridiculous. There's a con for the last 3 years, right?
So a podcast, I think a video podcast.
They do a 10-minute, like 10 from the developer or something every week or something.
That's what I mean. I think it's a full podcast. It's ridiculous.
I'm
like mad for other people. Well, I don't know why I'm so mad.
That's what's funny. Like, I backed it. Granted, I haven't sunk anything more than the initial base, whatever, $60 or whatever it was. Like, I haven't bought extra ships and I don't spend hours playing it now, but it's not good right now. Like Josiah's, you know, it's not smooth at all.
That surprised me a lot.
Granted, okay, fine. I was trying to push it like ultra settings and things like that. So I scaled it back, but there was still a lot of like just hiccups throughout it. Now, when I jumped on and
how do they test the game? I mean, I guess they have Titans.
I jumped on since the first person shooter module came out, and it's like not that good.
Yeah.
I mean, I only had one weapon, so I don't know. Maybe you can get bazookas and shit, but like, I don't know. Like, it was
question:
just,
is it better than Chex Quest?
I don't think so. I was looking for my spoon. I couldn't get the spoon.
Spoon the aliens.
I don't know. Like, I've sunk a lot of hours into Elite Dangerous, and I like the flying.
And
I don't think the flying in Star Citizen, maybe it was just different, but I didn't like it as much, or maybe it was just the style of it. I didn't like it as much as Elite Dangerous. The first person shooter, my worry is, since they're doing, and this is obvious, but they're doing all of these different elements, all these different genres, and none of them are going to be outstanding. They're all going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, so the, like, you actually made an interesting point about the flying. The reason it's different is because it is supposed to be
realistic,
completely realistic. Yeah. Like the way you move your ship, whereas Elite Dangerous is a little more traditional. Like, it's not like it's not ridiculous, but yeah, it's supposed to be more fun. Same thing they've talked about. I think I saw a clip of this. Like, you can do what No Man's Sky does, where you go to a planet, but you legitimately, like, landing is not normal. You have to think about the atmosphere and all that kind of stuff, which is cool from a nerd perspective. I will say one thing I remember loving about Space Sims was like, it's the nerdiest thing, but energy management. I love the idea. I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting bombarded from behind. I need to put my shields up and put more power to them in the back.
TIE Fighter, son.
TIE Fighter. No. I'm thinking more Free Space, but TIE Fighter too. I want to play
those
again.
The one thing I'm really interested in is multiplayer ships.
And by the way, TIE Fighter, TIEs didn't have shields. Except for the advanced.
Well,
TIE fighters.
Once you got to the later parts of the game, you got the advanced
TIE fighter. Those things have.
Do you know
shields.
What show you're on, Rob? How do you open the show? Of course, we're nerds. Goddamn it!
Yeah,
I am really excited for multiple pilots in a ship.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
That seems really fucking cool.
Well, they
me.
Already have that. That space game that shoots the hearts that we played.
Oh, Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
Well, we already did that.
That's right. That's right. So actually, now that you have it, I'd be really interested in us trying to get.
Can we do that in the alpha?
Do you want to pay like $200?
We got to pay extra to do that in the alpha.
I don't know. I don't have one of those nice ships.
I tried
to get out of the dock and I blew up. I couldn't even get out.
Now you don't have a ship.
No, I don't have a ship anymore.
It's persistent.
Oh wait, you're talking about this game. I thought you were talking about Lovers and a Dangerous.
No,
whatever.
In Star Citizen, they have the multiplayer. Yeah. So like, if Josiah is our getaway pilot, because apparently he's experienced, Sean and I will be like gunners and stuff, or Sean will be the energy management.
I'm gonna be the gunner. Cool.
Don't get cocky, kid. You gotta get back to me.
Sean, the engineer. Wait, Rob, the gunner.
Yeah.
Josiah, the pilot.
Yeah, we got the team.
And we're all the
we
rappers.
We got the team.
Rapping.
Yeah. Wait, so who's Chewie and who's Luke?
I'm Luke, right?
Another you said about Elite Dangerous. It's crazy how much cool stuff they've done. They've been out for years. They just did this whole alien expansion thing.
Yeah, I
haven't played it much, but it seemed fun when I played it on your computer. I don't think I played in VR, but whatever. They have VR. Like, this game has been out for years, and you think that Star Citizen is still in alphas. And they're just continuing. They're literally, they're not just adding features. They're adding games, like you're saying. It's like, let's make COD. I mean, it's not like let's add a bit to it.
There's a whole, like, multi-hour story.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, oh, we want to make it as good as
which is like
Firewatch.
Fully voice acted and stuff like that. Can you just buy Star Citizen so we can find one of those big ships?
No, because it'll never come out.
It's already out, Sean, in our hearts.
You know what? I will get a second controller and we'll have split screen on your TV. Even though your computer can't run one, so it can't do two.
Oh man,
all it'll be fun. Physics.
Any last words?
All right, Star Citizen. 2020. That's 2020.
Oh, man. All right. That is going to do it for this episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Store. Please share us with your friends. You can leave us comments or submit questions and topics to us directly by going to theunwind.audio. Also, be sure to check out thecommentist.com where you can see all of our great shows, such as Roll 2 Hit,
The Unwind,
Bearded Vegans,
Bearded Vegans,
Sky on Fire.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Cuphead, Destiny 2, Below, Dawn of War 3, Nier Automata, Ni No Kuni 2, Persona 5, Prey, Rime, and Tacoma, Rob.
You're not going to play any of those.